Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier inspirational digital magazine for women since 2006. You know, it's such an honor and blessing through Aspire and through all the other inspirational media brands to bring you content and conversations that inspire, empower, and support you in living your best life. And today's conversation, my friends, will help you do just that. Joining me today is Emily Francis, a highly sought after speaker, author, and wellness expert with an array of education and experience. She's the host of the internet radio show, All About Healing, on Healthy Life Radio. She has a bachelor's degree in exercise science and wellness, as well as a master's of science in physical education with a concentration in human performance. She graduated from the Atlanta School of Massage in clinical and neuromuscular massage therapy and went on to specialize through the Dr. Vodder School, North America, in manual lymphatic drainage and combined decongestive therapy. She is so gifted. She's author of many books, including the one I'm holding in my hand right now, Healing Ourselves Whole, an interactive guide to release pain and trauma by utilizing the wisdom of the body. And I am about a quarter way through this book, and it speaks to me. So welcome, Emily.
Thank you, Linda. I'm so happy to be here and grateful.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, when we first connected and I saw what you teach, what you write about, and what you're so passionate about, it really connected with me. As we were just talking about before we came on the air, I was a body worker many years ago. And so I could relate to so much of what you talked about and wish I knew these things back then, Emily.
I do too. I wish I knew them back then when I started too. I wish I had these books back when I was a student. And honestly, I do wish that these books were carried in every massage school in the country.
Well, I completely agree, because it's such a refreshing perspective into healing trauma and combined with body work. And so let's dive in there. Let's start, like, what led you to say, this book needs to be written?
Well, what led me was that I have two books before this, and I consider this my trilogy of giving everything I have spent half of my life studying. When I say half, I mean I'm 46 years old and I have been studying nonstop for 23 years, actually more than 23, but 23 really solid years of body healing and how our body works. And so I wrote a book, The Body Heals Itself, about why we carry pain where we do. And then I followed it up with Whole Body Healing, which was, where do we start and where do we go for our healing? Who's the healing teams that we need to assemble? But this book, Healing Ourselves Whole, I knew that there was a hole in my work, H-O-L-E, whole, and it was that I hadn't yet offered the work you do alone. What is, you know, everybody talks about in healing, you have to do the work, but I don't feel like people are incredibly forthcoming with what that looks like or how to get there. And I feel like a lot of it is because of the nature of the beast of the work, we don't necessarily give away so freely and hand over the power that should be handed over back into the person, because it is your power. It is your destiny to heal, but it comes from within. And I always say that healing is entirely possible, but it's almost impossible to do alone. But this is the part of healing that hasn't been offered. And it's the work through your body that you do alone. And that's it. That's why.
Well, it's powerful because, as we were talking about off air, is you realize as a body work, it's such a sacred offering, right? And yes, we need to hold sacred space, because the person on the table, we don't know their background, their healing, their trauma. And so that's what I really am drawn to your work is you honor that at such a deep level. So how in your personal work and your journey, did you tie in this trauma? Because you say something that I really thought was great. You said, the body is a holder for memory, right? And it reveals, right. The layers and wounds that are hidden there. How did you make that connection?
Well, my specialty is body release, is emotional release. And it's hard to explain, but when my hands get on somebody's body, I truly understand the messages that their body has been holding. And I'll see images and I can really work with somebody in a very deep way into levels that they haven't yet faced, maybe in cognitive therapy or maybe on their own. And what I mean by the way the body stores, I've always been fascinated with muscle memory and the way that the memory systems do live in our bodies and how we hold them differently than the way that we understand it and process in our mind. Because our mind, like the Buddhists call it, the monkey mind, or the Native American indigenous medicine calls it the coyote medicine, our mind is open to interpretation. Our body is not. Our body experiences whatever it is, joyful, bliss, trauma, grief, it goes right into the body as fact, as exactly at the moment that it happened without a narrative. So I always say this as the really basic explanation. If a person was in a car accident, and let's say they come to me for body work, and I start asking questions because I can visually, by the muscles, tell where they were looking at the time of impact, what was going on, where did it hit in the body, you know, those physical aspects. But when I start to ask questions, everybody has a hazy memory. That's the gift of the mind. You can eject because that's the way to survive a trauma, any kind of trauma, is that the mind ejects itself from the body. But the body does not have an eject button. And so as a cognitive therapist, they call it a trauma capsule, which means that it was so overwhelming that your mind cannot handle it. They shove it into a little capsule, they drop it into the body, and they walk forward. My job is to pick up the capsule that's been dropped into the body and go right there as our starting point into healing. And that's where we build. And that's what I have built my entire somatic emotion chart and all of my 20 plus years of hands-on touching so many different bodies and having them reveal their secrets and their wisdom.
Oh my God, this is powerful because for so many, they associate, I'm going to go for body work, but they only see it from that, you know, that place. I'm going to go relax and have a spa treatment.
Yeah.
So this, in the sacred offering that you've combined it with, is really a healing modality that we got to get more and more people to know about because, as you share, there's so much wisdom in the body.
There is fabulous wisdom within the body. You know, and I remember when I was working on The Body Heals Itself, I went to a ton of different people for research. And I went to this one man who is an acupuncturist. And it's funny because we talked for probably 2 hours and I only wrote maybe a paragraph out of it, but it was so powerful. And what he said was that we look at our bodies as a whole as brain dominant. We consider the mind and the cognitive, the brain. The brain is the organ. The mind is where the thoughts and behaviors live. And he said, we're brain dominant. We think about all the work behind the brain. And we look at people that do sacred body work as less than the people that do the work around the brain. And he's right. We don't sit there and think because there's not a lot of body workers that are coming forward and writing books. Or even like for me, it was like a concept and a theory that I kept testing with everybody and noticing that the similarities were so on point. And even when I met an acupuncturist and I said, the glutes hold a lot of aggravation and suppression, the muscle. And he goes, well, yeah, but that's because it's the liver gallbladder line and that's anger and aggravation and suppression. And I looked at him and I said, okay, but the difference is I didn't know that. I don't know the meridian lines. I learned it because the body taught me. And yet we have the same information.
That must've been so like eye-opening and exciting.
It was like, it let me know, hey, you're on the right path. And the hardest part, honestly, the hardest part to me has been proving it in a scientific environment. And what I mean by that is that I'm still really, really close to my director of exercise physiology from my university. And then he became the dean of the College of Education. And that's how I went back 20 years later and got my master's. And last year, He came out of retirement to be my partner, and we applied for a grant to go into the lab and have me do the massage work and him get a team of partners to do STEM and other testing to understand the emotional value within the muscle system. But we ultimately didn't get picked up and chosen for the scholarship. And for me, that was really such a crusher, because here I was, I had the dean of the College of Education, doctor of exercise physiology, willing to be my partner. And then he brought in the director of the kinesiology department, and they offered me the college to go test. But you have to have a lot of money or somebody backing you to really test this. And I already know the answers, but to have the scientists back you up changes everything. And that's the part that I still would jump on, even all the way across the world, because I want to be able to prove some of this beyond a shadow of a doubt, instead of just, this is 20 years of instinct, of practice, of interviewing different people, other people knowing this to be true, watching this with the bodies. I would love to have some real experimental, this is what we found.
I believe it's coming. I believe it's going to be a timing issue. I just feel like it's all going to come together for you, and it'll be such a service project to the world. So
I hope so. I really want to be part of that, because I do think there is actually, there's a study among dermatologists or plastic surgeons. There's a study about Botox that if you freeze the muscles of facial expression, if you freeze the frown lines, it will actually elicit a happier response. And if you freeze the smile lines, it can actually release a depression. And it's actually been proven. And there is that. That's in my book about research, not this most recent book. And the other one that was such a big one that I think is almost silly, I can't even believe somebody came up with this, and it's become so massive in the science community, is that people put a pencil vertically across their teeth, across the back teeth, to make them smile, to elicit the smiles, and read comics, and found that they found them more humorous with the pencil that way than when you suck the pencil in like a pucker and make a frown, you find the things less humorous. How easy is that? And yet it's become my friend is a doctor of psychology. He used that as his doctoral dissertation. It's like this big deal. And I think about it and go, what? Why couldn't I think of something so simple?
You will, my friend.
Where is it?
I just love, the tie of science and the body work. And we're going to take our first break, Emily. And when we come back, I want to really talk about something you cover in the book called the heavy four emotions, because I think we can all relate to them, especially after the last year we've had. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back in a moment, my friends. I'm with Emily Francis of emilyafrancisbooks.com. We'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com. Are you designing your life or living by default? Discover your soul's unique human design and be empowered to live the life you were meant for. Nancy O'Keefe, certified human design specialist, intuitive transformational coach, and compassionate transformer, helps women like you peel back the layers of who they've been taught to be to reveal who they truly are so they can create the life of their dreams. Nancy knows firsthand that anything is possible. She divinely designed her life and went from receptionist to company VP and on to founder and CEO of her own multi-seven-figure firm. Nancy has been developing and coaching people for over 25 years and is passionate about helping them understand their divine design, embrace who they are, and live their best life. Schedule your complimentary call today at nancyokeefcoaching.com.
And we know what to do within this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels, Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on iOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Emily Francis, author of multiple books, including her newest one, Healing Ourselves Whole. So in the book, Emily, you talk about how to process the heavy four emotions. First off, let's start with what those emotions are.
So the heavy four are what I have found as a constant pattern in the body and in the skin itself, the tissues. And that is trauma, which is anything that goes under that umbrella of trauma. And then after that is shame and guilt, because I believe it's a trauma, shame, guilt cycle. And that's the cycle that will tear you to pieces. And then the fourth of the heavy four that I believe stands on its own is grief.
Okay, so is this, and you found these through your hands-on work and everything that you're doing, you kept finding these four patterns?
Yes. You know, in cognitive therapy, they have an emotion chart and a feeling wheel, and you pick one of, like, I don't know, so many different thoughts. And in the body, I don't feel like there's all these different thoughts. I don't think you have things that are interpreted. I think that shame and guilt are patterns that are almost, they're almost DNA. They're linked up. They're laced up into your body as patterns that you have created, usually from childhood, and lace them up until you become highly acutely aware that this is how you run, and then try to unlace. Trauma, as I said, sits in the body exactly as it happened from the moment of impact and stays there until you do the work. And then grief is its own beast. And it's not something that you can really, you don't heal from grief. You learn how to carry through with grief, and you learn how to rearrange it in a way that you can be functional. But I believe that grief actually cuts you in half and then gives you a parallel life. You have the life that you're living in real time, in reality, and the life you would be living had that thing not left, had you not lost that thing, had that person not died. And you keep a timetable. So, you know, people go, oh, today my dad would have been 50. You know, we keep moving them up in the age because we can't quite grasp that that person, place, or thing is no longer there. And the grief cuts us, really cuts us, divides into different placements. So it to me, it's more of, I'm honoring the fact that you feel the grief, but I'm also understanding that just because we talk about it and go through it, your healing and to the level you are able to is really within you.
That's such powerful and deep insights. You know, it just amazes me what the body reveals. Now, you also talk about, which lights me up, the fabulous four emotions, right? So yes. Share those and what you discovered through, you know, that discovery.
Here's what I love. When I started to look into where does the good stuff go? Because we cannot be a whole body of trauma. That's not what we are, right? We're not just trauma after trauma and terrible things that have happened to us. We also have incredible memories. Even the most traumatic life still has these silver linings of, I just had the most fantastic experience, right? And I prove this in my mind by the way that a song can bring you back 20 years. That you can, let's say it's, this was me and my boyfriend's song from high school and I loved him so much, and now I can smell his laundry or the cigarettes or the perfume or whatever, and the song comes on and I'm back in time. I'm literally transported back in time. those chemicals from the physiological response within the body have released, and they're giving us the same experience again. And that gives us a double up on health. So the fabulous four emotions are happy, which is not as deeply embedded as joy. Joy is the next one. So happy is something that you experience in present time, but you experience it so often that your body remembers it and clicks into it. Happy can be bliss. It can be giggles. Happy is a lot of different experiences under the happy umbrella. But the deeper one is joy. And I believe that joy stores into the muscles the way that trauma stores into the muscles. Literally the same way, but just different energy. And joy is truly physiological. And I really realized that when I had a friend on that is a psychologist and has spent her life studying psychology and talked about the physiology of the body with the emotions. And when she said something about something along the lines of joy being a physiological response, I jumped on it and started researching it like crazy and have gone deeper with it. The third of the fabulous four is connected. And connected is like, you know, when your body is in chaos, you don't have everybody on the same team. All your thoughts aren't on the same side of the board. All the cells aren't really working towards the same goal. I think of like a positive and negative charges of cellular structure. And instead of them lining up positive to negative and working towards the same place, they're going negative to negative and positive to positive, and you're in chaos inside your body. This is where chronic illness comes in. This is where a lot of the physical ailments occur. You are disconnected. But we can work through that way to get us to the end goal in sight and bring our body in cellular memory, tissue memory, blood and plasma, muscle memory, fascia, all going towards the same one goal. And that brings you into connected. And then finally is empowered. And what I think of with empowered is that you have got your experience of happy and understand it well enough to recognize your physiological experience of joy and now using it to double up and add more. You're finally connected. That's so deeply internal. And then empowered is this, all that energy put together, but now you take it out into the world with you. Are you able to maintain your balance inside your structural self that you're still connected, you're still experiencing joy, but you've now taken it out into the world and holding your own sacred space without it being discombobulated in any way? That's being empowered.
This is powerful. And, you know, as you were speaking, I'm like, I'm curious, when going back to the trauma, what do you feel in someone's body? So is it like if they come in saying, I have recurring shoulder discomfort, you know, in those muscles, does that place of where they're complaining of, does that tell you something, or you wait yes. until you get your hands on them?
It does tell me something. That's why I wrote the whole The Body Heals Itself, because there is a common pattern in muscle groups of why you carry pain there. Absolutely. So somebody who constantly has reoccurring pain behind their shoulder blade, especially their right side, is betrayal. That's where the stab in the back actually happens, but it sits in the rhomboid muscles. That's the muscle memory that traps it in. So you have to me, the more you know anatomy, the better you can work. The more you understand energy, the way better you can work, right? So when people come in and they explain an area, I get started. But what I don't let them do is tell me their story. Because 9 times out of 10, the story they have in their head about what it is in that area is not the story that the body has. So I will work on the area that they are talking about that they carry a predominant issue in, but I don't want to hear your story until I hear it from your body first. And then I'll start to ask some questions and then we'll see how it lines up. And I'm going to give you an example, and it's a big one. And the reason I can share the story is because she signed it, and it's in my whole body healing book as a memory. She gave permission. But I work with people with lymphedema. That's that lymphatic drainage. Yes. I work with a chronic condition called lymphedema, which happens usually as a result of radiation from cancer treatment. Some people have primary lymphedema, but most of the time it's secondary, and it usually has to do with cancer. So my emotional release work is very, very serious energetic, because you're talking about people that are fighting for their life. I won't do any kind of lymphatic work during cancer treatment. I will not be involved in your lymphatic system while you're trying to clean house. I will still do Reiki, however, and energy work. And then once you're in remission, I will be happy to work on you, but it's a totally different style now. It's lymphatic drainage, totally a different game. Anyway, I had a woman call me and she said, listen, I have ovarian cancer. I have one kind of chemotherapy that can save me. And for some reason, my body is rejecting it. My oncologist gave me your number and said, I don't know who she is. I don't know what she does, but get her body to get you to take it because this is how we save your life. And I said, okay, clear your day because I have no idea what this is going to look like. And she came over and I knew, okay, it's ovaries. So you know you're talking sexual trauma. Whether people want to admit it or not, that is absolutely 8 times out of 10. I'm not going to say 10 out of 10, 8 times out of 10, some sort of sexual trauma. Doesn't have to mean, it doesn't mean you were molested. It doesn't mean you were raped. It's some kind of sexual trauma. There's something that's happened in the reproductive area and it's a very specific energy. Now in her case, it was exactly that, that she actually had a step sibling who abused her when she was very young and she never remembered. Then they got sober years later and made amends. And after they apologized and said what they did to her, it wasn't but a couple of weeks to months and she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer.
Wow.
A to B. So I put my hands exactly in that area. Let's talk about why you, because it's unbelievable how fast we choose to be the victim. What did I do to deserve this? Why did this happen to me? She was 2. What did she do to deserve this? Nothing. Yeah. But getting somebody to understand that and release the blame, shame, trauma, shame, guilt cycle is really, really hard to do. And the only reason I could make it make sense to her is that she had a child that age. And I said, okay, tell me about your child. Would you think it's their fault? Would you ever point your finger and think this? And she just started bawling. No way. This is my baby. No. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I could apply this wisdom to myself and understand that I never had a choice in this. I was so young and innocent. And I didn't even know this happened until this was brought to my attention. And now my body is grieving so heavily. And so we did the work. She cried so hard that she shook and shivered. And I brought a trash can next to her. I thought she was going to vomit. Sometimes those little poisons have to get out however they can. Tears are a physical manifestation of pain leaving the body. You cannot put them back in. I love tears. If I can get you to cry and shake and sweat, that's the way to go. And that's what we did. And the next week her body took that chemo and she's year 12 remission.
Holy shit. Excuse my
language. Yeah. Isn't that? But you know what? Here's the other part. This has almost nothing to do with me. I just got to be lucky enough to be the hands. This was spirit working through me as an open channel and conduit into her. And she made the choice to rearrange it and let her body heal. I just got to be lucky enough to witness.
Yeah, I love that. Cause I always said when I did body work and people say, thank you. I said, I'm just the middleman.
Yep. I get to be the hands. That's all.
And you share your gifts. So you make yourself available to be fully present for that person on the table in front of you. So one of the things like that story, I believe in all of that so deeply that our body holds wisdom. You just bring it this, you're helping us understand how deep it goes, right? How powerful it is. One of the things is you also, and I'm just trying to grab how I want to word the sentence. You also use the wisdom of the body to help those that struggle with the darkness of addiction. What would that look like? I think we all can say we know or have known someone, whether it's someone we loved or a friend or something that has struggled with some kind of addiction.
You know, I believe that I was dang close to being one, really, really, really close to being an alcoholic. I was so, so close, standing on the edge and then pulled myself back. But everybody has an addiction of some sort. I mean, I'm still an addictive personality. I know this. But what I believe causes so many addictions is an earlier life trauma that they never dealt with, never understood how to deal with. Even if they went to therapy, they may not have gotten into that body part that's holding that shame, trauma, guilt cycle. That trauma, shame, guilt cycle can take you down and shred you to bits. And because there's not enough information about it inside your body, we just suffer. So you have usually, I mean, really most of the time, somebody who suffered some sort of great trauma doesn't really know how to live with it healthy. And self-medicates. And that self-medicates, gets into such a big place that it becomes the monster and the beast and owns you. It takes ownership over you. And that is the start of addiction. Addiction is not just I partied all the time and it got really fun and I didn't know how to live without it. Addiction is I'm covering up something. And some people don't even know what it is. When I was drinking so heavily, I knew my dad died young. I knew that I'd been through trauma. I knew I'd never gotten counseling or help, but I had no idea the massive amounts of years that I self-medicated and put on a show and was somebody else entirely until I got sober. And when I stopped drinking and I didn't have that to fall back on, all the monsters came up with a vengeance. And the more that I, and my best friend is a addiction medicine counselor. She's a spiritual counselor for addiction medicine. So I actually used to go visit her at the treatment center a lot and listen to people. In fact, I listened to a woman go and sit in the office, and I was so surprised that nobody asked me to leave. I just sat there like a fly on the wall, and the girl sat down and said, "I want to kill myself. I think I'm done. I think I'm done today. I'm ready. I don't want to be here anymore." And my friend was unbelievably calm, not an energy rattle. And she was like, "Okay, make me a deal. Don't do a single thing without calling me first. That's it. Just today. We're just going to talk about today. Don't even think about tomorrow. We're just going to work from here." And you know what people can do for addiction in the mind category and in the medical place is phenomenal. But I do believe that the part that could play such a massive healing unleash is the part that's the body. And that's hard because a lot of people that are trauma survivors do not want somebody coming up and placing their hands on their body. But there are ways that you can create a safe space. You can touch them over a blanket. You can touch them 6 inches above their body. You can do whatever it takes to help them. My job is to make you feel safe in your space. And it's also that you don't have to share with me any of your secrets. I just need you to share them with yourself. If you want to talk out loud, you can. If you don't feel comfortable, I'm not here to push you. And that creates a safe space and a boundary that's really, really important to people that have suffered at the hands of other people, is that I'm not putting you into the corner and saying, "All right, let's go. Let's go there. Let's go deep into our body and release." Like, that's so scary. But what if you come in and they say, "Listen, this is all about you and I want to honor you and your body and you tell me." I mean, even when we do really clinical stuff, there's a particular massage practice. It's not even massage really, but it's called the longus coli. It's a muscle in the front of the neck, and you actually dislodge the trachea to get to the spine through the front of the neck. It is the most emotional muscle in the body. And you only use it for things like whiplash, or God forbid, if somebody was strangled and they need to release, or if they've lost their voice. There's a lot of little things. But what you do when you approach that area is you put their hand around your wrist. They are in charge. So I say, your hand goes on me as the breaker. If for any minute, for any second, I'm not going to be in there more than 10 seconds, but if at any time you're not comfortable, simply pull me out. You are in charge. And that changes the dynamic.
Yeah. Just like I can feel it in my body.
Yeah.
You know, so that's powerful for them, because if they've been traumatized in some way, they didn't have power and you're giving them back their power.
Yes, that's my role. That's what I feel like my God-given gift really is to help people get their power back. Because too many times, and honestly, me too, I gave mine away over, and I spent 7 years in really severe anxiety and panic when I stopped drinking and then became agoraphobic and quit my job, moved home, slept on my mom's pullout couch. I mean, I really like let go of my whole life as I knew it, because I could no longer function in it. And I honestly, I wanted to go to rehab badly. I called places, but I couldn't afford it. And so I really had to do a lot of things on my own. And at the time, oh my God, it just felt like I was never going to get back up, ever. And what I did is I clung to anybody I thought was a quote unquote healer. I clung to anybody that I thought knew more than me. And that was basically everybody. And I let so many people make decisions for me that once I finally got back on my feet and reclaimed my life and basically started over and created a different life, I don't let people make decisions for me anymore. And I advocate strongly never to let somebody else's voice become louder than yours. And so I take that into my practice. I take it into my books. I take it into everything that I can, because I do believe that that's really was the foundation of what kept me down as long as it did.
I love stories of transformation. Mine is the same. It just, I want our listeners to hear that where you've been doesn't mean where you're going to stay, right? Like I always like to say to my clients, your past doesn't define your future. Look at where you were and look at you today, transforming people's lives by getting your books out there and your message and this deep work out there. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, because sometimes if someone's listening right now and you're in a dark place or overwhelmed and life really seems hard, just stay focused on where you want to go, not where you are. So I just had to add that for those who are struggling.
You know, I love that you said that, because there's actually a section in Healing Ourselves Whole. So when I was writing this book, COVID hadn't happened yet. So I didn't write this book in response to the pandemic. I wrote this book right before it came in. And when I was writing this book, I was living in a small southern town in Georgia. And I didn't fit. And we had made that decision just the year before. And uprooted our kids. And it just wasn't a good fit. And I felt like I was living with a very small boa constrictor around my neck. And that I just had to become a little bit more invisible so that people would like my kids. Because it's a highly, highly religious town, extremely evangelical. And nobody asked me a single question except, have you found a church yet? Nobody cared about anything else about me at all. And the public schools didn't work for my kids. And so I pulled them out and found this homeschool hybrid and did have to join the church and get really down into it and become something that was not necessarily resonating with me, with the biggest part of me. And so I was writing in the book, In Healing Ourselves Whole, and I was basically writing a letter to myself. I know exactly where I was sitting. I know exactly what I was looking at. And I wrote this whole section about creating a healthy environment for yourself, and that where you are today is no reflection of where you might be a year from now. And guess what? A year from my writing that, we left the country. I live in Malta. I live in the Mediterranean. I have fallen blissfully, madly, deeply in love with where I am and have felt my wings grow from deep inside and wide out. Nobody cares. Everybody just supports and it's the most different feeling. But I wrote that really as an ode and a reminder to myself in that book. And it's true. Where you are today is no reflection of where you're going to be a year from now. Where you were a year from now is no reflection of where you are today. And especially with the world shutting down and opening and shutting down and us feeling unbelievably discombobulated at the very least, it doesn't reflect everybody, I think, or not everybody, but a lot of people, especially in the spiritual community, is right now doing a deep introspection of where do I want to be when the world opens back up? Who do I want to be? What are the things that I want to let go of that are no longer serving my highest good and greatest joy? And what are the things that I can grab onto that do?
I'll tell you, that's how I felt. I mean, I've been going through a intentional life, intentional business for 3 years, like re-examining everything. Like we sold our big house right here on the water. It's right next door. We sold it to 5 nuns. And we built our intentional home to go mortgage free. He's a builder, so we got a beautiful home. It's this last year has made me want to reevaluate. And I called it, instead of isolation or quarantine, I said, what dense energy is that word, Emily? Mm-hmm. I call it sacred cocooning.
Ah,
and yeah, month in, I posted on Facebook. I said, listen, if something doesn't energetically feel right, listen, those words were really heavy for me. And I created my own. So then that my energy throughout the whole year was very different than when it was if I had used words that made me feel dense. We're going to take a last break and come back for the last segment. And we're going to dive into this juicy conversation. I'll be right back. I'm with Emily Francis, author of Healing Ourselves Whole. You can learn more at emilyafrancisbooks.com. We'll be right back.
This is OTRFM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Are you ready to experience the unshakable love and unleashed passion you really want? Great news! Discover what thousands of people are doing to transform their relationships in ways they never thought possible. And your partner does not need to participate in the process to enjoy the results you want in your relationship. Relationship expert and Aspire magazine columnist Stacey Martino and her husband Paul are the founders of RelationshipDevelopment.org and RelationshipU, They have successfully empowered thousands of clients with tools and strategies that really work to transform their relationship, any relationship. And your partner does not even need to participate for their proven system to work for you. Transforming your relationship is possible, and it begins with you. Take the first step and visit relationshipdevelopment.org today.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Does the energy in your life or home feel stuck or stagnant? Your home surroundings may be impacting your mood, energy level, and even how much money you attract. It's time to clear the energy blocks in your immediate surroundings so you can attract enhanced health, happiness, and abundance. Carrie Miller, feng shui expert, speaker, and coach, and the author of Feels Better, Flows Better, Feng Shui for Inspired Living, merges her sacred skills in feng shui, space clearing, aromatherapy, and coaching to support her clients in making subtle changes to their home that allow energy to flow and create spaces that are comfortable, functional, supportive, and inspiring. Whether you're called to clear one room or your full home, Carrie offers feng shui and energy clearing services on-site or virtually to meet your needs. Learn more at CarrieMillerConsulting.com.
For School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Emily Francis. And we're talking about, you know, releasing pain and trauma by, you know, utilizing the wisdom of the body. And we've had such a deep and conversation, but the insights and ahas even for me, so I know for our listeners also. So in this last segment, I wanted to talk about how you set up this book, because I really love that you have practices in it, breathing, meditations, and practices that help us get into a calm space. And that I notice it's really heavy on journaling, which is something I love. So tell us why you included all of that.
I set it up the best way that I could through my hands-on practice in paper, if that makes sense. Because what I wanted to do was give to the reader the closest thing to working directly with me. And I also always say, if you email me or you reach out to me on any of the social networks, I will respond, and I will respond quickly. I work with people across the world. I don't charge for it. I'm not going to stick around for long, but I will help you go to the place that you need to go. And I did this. I set up every chapter very uniform. So we go through one of the emotions. And then we go in through a very lengthy meditation, going deep into all the layers of the body, all the way down into that soft tissue where things were planted. And we work with the body messages. And once you're out of that meditation, which, by the way, is free on my website. So when you go to my website, you can hit the audio tabs and you can go through every chapter instead of reading the meditations, which I still encourage you to read, but put the book down and then let me take you through. And the producer is actually a hypnotherapist. The music is fantastic. and I will go with you into all the meditations. When you're finished with the meditation, I have journal prompt that follows after it, and they are not blank pages with lines on them. I go through a 5-4-3-2-1 process of sensory detail for you to remember what you just learned from your body, which is 5 things that you can see, 4 things that you can touch, 3 things that you can, it goes down to taste, smell, touch, sight, and see. And you get really detailed so that you can remember all of what just occurred. And then we go into other journalings with it. And then following that is a touch mudra affirmation, because I believe it's a little bit like emotional freedom technique, but we're not tapping. You're touching certain areas of your hands, your head, your navel, to put it back into your body and to give your body permission to feel all the feelings and heal from them. And so that is why it's set up with the meditations and the journals and then the follow-up visualizations and affirmations, because we have to do everything we can to remind the body and allow. It's interesting. My naturopath said this, and I've taken it from him ever since. And he said, everybody that I work with, it comes down to giving yourself permission to heal or not. That's the difference to him and now to me about how far you can really go in this process. And it really goes into a very deeply held belief system that you deserve to be healthy and happy and free, or a belief system that keeps you down and heavy and feeling that same kind of energy that the word quarantine and lockdown comes with.
Yeah, exactly. And I got quarter way through the book. I'm up to page, I think it's 82. And I'm on the section where it's the process and the exercises for guilt. And I'm looking at it. And I, just before you just beautifully described everything, when I had got to that part, I said, this isn't regular journaling. You are actually walking us through a process of healing. That's the difference I felt when I was reading the book.
Yes. And now that I'm opening the book, it's the 5 things. So the first 5 is things you can see that your body showed you, 4 things you could touch in that space, 3 things you could hear in that space, 2 things you could smell in that space, and 1 thing you could taste. And I use this as the example, again, a car accident. To me, when I've been in a car accident, the taste in my mouth is like eating aluminum foil. It's mm-hmm. this weird heat thing, and it feels like I just ate aluminum foil. I don't have any other taste but that one. But if I wrote that down, I would remember very distinctly how intense that was. And that's why I wanted to do the sensory countdown to help you come back into what the meditation was. Because remember I said at the beginning that 9 times out of 10, the story that you tell yourself that goes with the trauma isn't the same story that your body has. It doesn't mean it's a different situation, but I use this as my example if you read this part, but I talk about the Karate Kid movie. I love the Karate Kid movie. I have loved the Karate Kid movie since I was 10 and it came out in the theaters, and I had my room decorated with Ralph Macchio. It was my favorite, and still to this day, one of my all-time favorite movies. And when I was reading as an adult, one interview from one of the guys in the movie, he said something like, on opening night, they all went and they sat either in the front row or the back row, just trying to see, gauge what the audience was going to do. And then he said, at the end of the movie, people were standing on the chairs and screaming and hollering, and they couldn't believe it. They all looked at each other like, oh my God, this might actually be a hit. Well, all these years later, I went to the movies when I was 10 and saw it a second time with my dad. And all these years later, I'm telling my children about the movie, The Karate Kid. And I'm letting them watch a very teeny tiny part of the tournament scene because they're not quite old enough to see all of it. And I'm telling them the story. And I was like, girls, I saw it in the movie theater. And at the end of the movie, everybody jumped up on the chairs and screamed and hollered. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, that wasn't actually my story. But somehow me listening to somebody else made it my memory. But it's not actually rooted in me being there. And that's the way that the mind is a subject to manipulation and to interpretation, because I heard that story and then totally turned around and made it mine. But my body wouldn't have dragged that in because my body's not reading excerpts from other actors, right?
Exactly. So it's like you can emotionally connect with the experience, but that it's not going to be left in your body. Am I understanding it?
Yes.
Correct?
And so when you go, yes, because it wasn't my actual experience. So if you're listening to my body would be like, no, that's not actually how it went down. And that's what I mean by when you're looking at certain traumas, because your body might say, this isn't actually the way that it happened. And even I'm bringing up my friend again that does the addiction medicine, trauma counseling, and spiritual medicine. And she has a whole thing on forgiveness. And what she talks about is that everything stems from learning to accept any situation as it actually happened and not your attachment to the story you've always told yourself.
Wow. Isn't that powerful?
Yes. Because it gives your power, like you're going down the middle now. You have to accept it as it actually happened and stop telling the story where, I mean, I look back at so many relationships and think, he screwed me over. And now as an adult, I look back and go, oh my gosh, I probably made his life a living hell. And yet all I remember is this one little part and he's the dirtbag. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we love to create stories.
Yes, we do.
That enhance our own, you know, truth. We're all guilty of that.
We are all guilty of it. But now when you go in and you do these meditations with your body, the reason that I'm so serious and diligent with the journaling is exactly that reason, because that may not be your experience. It may not even be in the same ballpark.
And that so relates. And I can, when your story about, you know, the dirtbag story, how many times, or even like a family member, and we just have a few minutes left, but I want to share this and see what you feel about this topic. You and your sister both grew up in the same household. She's talking about things and you're like, what? I don't remember that. And you think like you're in the Twilight Zone. And she goes, what are you talking about? You were right there when we did this. And I'm like, that's not what I remember.
My sister and I have completely different experiences because I loved my childhood. I was also incredibly favored by my dad, very favored and just beloved. So when he died, it was like, oh my God, what am I doing with all these people? And why didn't he take me with them? And what am I doing here? But my sister doesn't have the same memories. Hers sound really depressing, you know, and mine sound really loving. And it is amazing. And then I talk about that in the book, that nobody shares the same story as you. Even people that experience the exact same trauma will not have the story that you have in it.
That's a powerful insight right there. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I think it's normal. It's okay that we both have different versions.
Yes. And you just have to work with yours, your story, your version. That's all that matters in your healing.
Thank you for that insight. And we have about a minute to go. Is there something, piece of wisdom, guidance, more than you've already shared, that you would like to leave our listeners with in the last few moments?
I always say your body is full of magic and wisdom, and you are allowed to heal. And I also beg you to turn inside and give yourself that trust, because you deserve to live happy, healthy, and free.
That's a beautiful way to end our time together, Emily. I want to invite everyone to please visit Emily at emilyafrancisbooks.com. There's a wealth of wisdom there, as well as in all the books. And of course, grab a copy of Healing Ourselves Whole. Until next time, my friends, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.